So, do you have any advice as to how a non-survivor could extend support or messages indirectly to victims, as in what kind of messages or words they should send out and share to them?
Right. So, is that the... Okay, the non-survivor, right. So, something that... I think, like, social media is kind of what I'm hearing you kind of making this connection to, and a lot of times there's, like, this weird in-between of wanting to show support for survivors, but also not wanting to, like, trigger or re-victimize people by, like, inundating their social media mm-hmm. with this messaging, which is kind of this, like, scary spot to be in. So something that I think is really easy is just, one, making sure that you're not, you know, laughing at or perpetuating, like, problematic ideas. So, like, if you hear someone, like, make a rape joke, or if you hear somebody, like, question folks that are coming forward, just, like, very basic, you know, bystander intervention of, like, actually, like, I don't think that's funny, or just mm-hmm. not laughing. And that stuff goes a long way, because then when someone you do know, they, like, we know statistically the likelihood that someone we know this will be affected by this. If they hear you saying, like, no, that's not okay, and, like, no, I do believe this person, they're much more likely to come forward, and that's a way to do it without kind of, like, blowing up social media.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, like, social media is still a great tool. So really just knowing that, like, thinking of, like, ways to communicate that you support survivors, but you don't want to tell them what to do, and that I know kind of feeds into, like, your next question, but kind of just thinking about how can I communicate that I support and believe people, but I also want them to do what's best for them. So just being mindful whenever you're posting anything on social media or giving any type of communication of, like, who is this message for, and does it actually serve and support survivors? And kind of using those two questions to be like, is this just for me to feel good about supporting this movement, or is mm-hmm. this actually helpful?
Okay, yeah. And then, yeah, like, how do you suppose non-survivors, like, the appropriate way to encourage them if they should at all?
Right.
Come
and
forward.
That's definitely a difficult spot, and I find myself, because of the job that I'm in, finding a lot of my friends coming to me being like, okay, like, someone disclosed to me, and I really want them to report, like, I want this person to be held accountable, what do I mm-hmm. do? And that's really hard.
Yeah.
And so what I tell people is that best practice, based on research, and also, like, anecdotally based on, like, my experience as a professional in the field, is that it's always best practice just to empower folks to make their own decision and be educated about what their options are. So that can be as simple as, thank you so much for sharing this with me. I imagine this is incredibly exhausting. I know that there's a hotline in the area that may be able to work through your options if and when you're ready. If you aren't right now, that's fine. And I'm here and I believe you. So just really letting them know that you are listening to them, you're believing what they said happened the way they said it happened, and that you acknowledge your limitations of, like, this isn't my job, like, I really care about you, so I have a lot of emotions, you know, coming through here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you are interested in getting connected to another resource, you can. And letting them know that no matter what, you'll support them. This kind of feeds into the conversation when I used to work at the University of Missouri's, like, their Relationship and Sexual Violence Prevention Center.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big, there's a lot of debate over whether or not there should be confidential spaces on college campuses, basically meaning that there would be spaces that people could go to that they could disclose sexual or domestic violence, and it wouldn't be reported unless they wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were like, oh, that means that all these people are going to be coming and giving all of these stories, but, you know, they're not going to be, you know, going and pressing charges or filing Title IX complaints. But mm-hmm. actually the opposite happened, where we found that when folks are just given an option and we are empowering them to make their own decision and letting them know no matter what, they are in control of the situation, the likelihood of them reporting actually skyrocketed.
Mm-hmm.
So just trusting that by giving folks like, the idea that, because what comes down to with domestic and sexual violence, intimate partner violence, comes down to power and control issues. And these folks are having their control taken away. And that's really, like, the root of PTSD, of trauma responses. And so, go fighting against that by saying, I trust you to make this decision. You are the expert. You know what's best for you. Whatever you decide I'm here for is so important and skyrockets the likelihood of them actually making a formal complaint.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So then just to, like, I guess it's sort of self-explanatory, like, you can infer, but, like, how might a survivor sharing their experiences be harmful to them and, like, their healing process?
Sure, and I think that, processing through violence is always hard. And so I think that if the person is just kind of, this is kind of both questions together, I guess, but if the person is pressured into sharing their experience or pushed into, like, kind of shamed into being like, you have to do this or this is what you should do, that can kind of reinforce the idea that, like, they don't really have control over the situation, this is out of their hands, and that they're not doing the right thing, and then that can definitely be harmful and re-traumatizing for people. I think that this movement is built on story sharing. That's how the women's movement started, was women coming together and being like, we need to talk about this, and, like, sharing, and that's what we're seeing happen again with this Time's Up and the Me Too movement, which obviously expands beyond just women. It's all survivors. We know everyone's affected by this. So, obviously, if story sharing feels like an empowering act for folks, wonderful. But I think what can become harmful is that a lot of people feel like if you're a survivor and you're not sharing your story right now in moments like this, that you're doing something wrong. And so I think that reinforcing, again, that no matter what, like, they are the expert. If it feels safe for them, great. If it doesn't, that's totally okay too.
What's your opinion of the Me Too and Time's Up movements that are going around, and, like, how social media is such a big part of it? Like, what do you think is the significance of that?
Yeah, I mean, something that's really interesting, and, of course, like, reinforcing that, like, safe connections, we don't take a political stance or, like, support specific candidates except with, like, specific policy things, but we have seen this huge surge in story sharing and reporting ever since the presidential election. And that's been really interesting, where I think folks are seeing, you know, okay, there was these conversations and accusation being put at our president. Where other positions of power is this happening? Like, where else is this happening that these conversations are going on and that aren't being given the platform that they need or deserve? And we also are seeing, specifically with the Time's Up movement, that's led by groups of really privileged women.
Yes.
And so we're seeing a lot, I kind of call it trendy activism, which is like, it's kind of like when I first started in this movement, when I was a freshman in college in 2010, 2011, like, this wasn't cool. You know what I mean? Like, this wasn't, like, we were the weirdos in the basement who were like, let's talk about rape. And everyone's like, you're nuts. you know what I mean? And now there's, like, folks like you who are, like, so far beyond where I was when I was your age. And, like, that are, like, we should be talking about this. Like, social justice is important. Like, let's have these difficult conversations. So I think that because there's more folks are using their privilege to start the conversation, that's where we're seeing things like Time's Up and Me Too come through, because it is a more mainstream act now. Not that it still isn't incredibly difficult, but I think it's just really indicative of how, like, these conversations have been happening forever. But because now women in the most privileged positions in society are starting that conversation, we're seeing it get picked up so much, which I think speaks to why we need to have folks with, like, leaning into these movements with their privileged identities to help further the movement. But while doing that, also recognizing that it's typically on the backs or the previous foundational work laid by less privileged folk. So that could be, like, women of color and queer women of color definitely led, like, the foundational intersectional feminism movement. Mm-hmm. You're looking at, like, Kimberly Crenshaw, Audre Lorde, and so they've been talking about this stuff forever, yet now it's getting, you know, popular. And right. So just being mindful of, like, all right, let's use our voices and our privileged positions to further the conversation, but let's also make sure that we're acknowledging the amazing work that's been done already.
Right. Okay.
Sure.
How important do you think it is for non-survivors to support and advocate for survivors alongside the survivors themselves?
Right. So I think it's as, it kind of depends if it's, like, on a micro or a macro level, right? So mm-hmm. if this is, if you're someone who hasn't experienced this and your friend, you know, discloses to you and now you want to be, you know, an advocate or support for them, it's really just, like, taking their lead. So if it's something that they want to continue talking about and it's something they want you to be involved in, wonderful. But even me, like, this is my job and, like, this is something I've been doing for years and, like, I have folks that disclose to me and then say, like, and I never want to talk about this ever again. And I'm
yeah.
like, okay, like, cool. Like, and I have to respect that boundary even though my job is telling me and, like, my experience is, like, that's not sustainable, that's not what's best for them, but I'm not them, and if that's what they need right now, I have to respect that. So, again, mm-hmm. it really comes down to it's absolutely important because even if that support is just respecting their boundaries of not wanting your support, mm-hmm. that's still incredibly important. Like, showing, like, you are setting a boundary for me, and I'm, like, honoring it because I trust you and you're my friend and I care about you is already helping support the idea that they are autonomous human beings that yeah. need and deserve consent in any aspect of their life. Yes. So definitely just, again, honoring their wants and their what they see is what makes sense and knowing that that might change. Because a lot of people feel like, oh my God, they don't want to report right now, they're losing this opportunity, all this stuff. But at the same time, we're seeing this happen where a lot of times people don't feel ready to talk about things till a long time afterwards.
Yeah.
And that's totally normal, especially when folks have trauma responses or PTSD diagnosis. It's very common to need more processing time to work through it because we know that, like, the Title IX system, the criminal justice system, isn't really set up for success for survivors a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if they want some time to, like, build up their own resiliency and skills before they move forward with that, just supporting that. If there are some people that this happens to and they're like, all right, I know what I want to do. I want to report it. I want to do this. X, mm-hmm. Y, Z, it's done. Get through the process. And there's yeah. some folks that aren't ready for that right away. And just supporting that decision no matter what.
Okay. Yeah, and I never, like, I don't know, I wasn't really considering the sending messages through, like, not being a bystander, just letting things be said that are insensitive, but I think that's a really interesting perspective, and I'll include that for sure.
Yeah, definitely. If you're interested in, like, looking more into that, that has to do with kind of, it's called, like, the continuum of violence, and so that's what I use a lot in my education talks of, like, a lot of times we only care about that stuff once it hits, like, physical violence or verbal violence.
Mm-hmm.
But if you imagine, like a triangle, like a pyramid, and the foundation of it being, like, problematic attitudes and beliefs, so, like, racism, sexism, homophobia, and then, like, the next level of it being, like, verbal expression of that,
mm-hmm.
the next level being physical expression, and then the very, very tip being homicide or suicide, it kind of shows that, like, yes, like, they, like, things might not feel like they're hurting people until they get to physical violence, but that could not exist or be acceptable if we did not accept verbal violence or if we did not accept, like, problematic ideologies, oppressive ideologies.
Yeah.
And so the idea is, like, intervene sooner, right? Like,
right.
before people get hurt. Because if people start, if we start conditioning folks at a young age that, like, no, that's not funny, that isn't okay, it's not okay to objectify other people, studies have shown that that deeply decreases the likelihood of folks perpetrating violence in the future.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think I'm good.
Okay. Thank Is it helpful? That's what
yes.
you wanted?
Yes. No, that's perfect. And I had kind of, like, already talked and, like, gotten quotes about the, like, encouragement and, like, what's going too far and everything, and you kind of said the same thing that, like, my other quote had, so that's good that you guys were, like, on the same page, and I have the accurate stuff for that, but I'll definitely include the bystander type of thing, because that, I hadn't even thought of including that, and that's totally important.
Yeah, for sure, and if you're interested in looking at, like, bystander intervention strategies, mm-hmm. Like, at the end for resources, obviously you're welcome to include Safe Connections. We do trainings at high schools and grade schools in St. Louis City and County about bystander intervention and prevention education, mm-hmm. But there's also the Green Dot strategy. I don't know if that's something y'all do at your school, but looking into that and seeing how, like, on college campuses and high schools, it's, like, the only evidence-based bystander intervention program, and they really focus on that verbal, you know, stopping things before it becomes physical as well. So it might be worth mm-hmm. a look-see.
Yeah, that's really cool. Thank you so much. Oh, well, is it okay, just making sure, is it okay that I use your name?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, so quote you?
Yeah, for sure, of course. My full name is Kelsey Burns. My title is I'm a crisis advocate at Safe Connections. So anything else you need from me, just let me know, but you're welcome to use anything I've said.
Okay, thank you so much for this.
Yeah, of course. And if you can, whenever it's, like, published or you're done or anything, mm-hmm. if you could just send it my way so that I can, like, show my human resources people, because they just like to know, like, where I'm is being put out there. So
yeah, of course. Yeah, I'll email you a link. We have a website.
Awesome, cool. Thank you so much, and thank you so much for wanting to focus on this. It's, mm-hmm. we really appreciate it, and if you ever want to collaborate more in the future, just let me know, okay?
Okay, thank you so much, yeah. Have a good day.
All right, take care.
Bye.